As we come to worship God in spirit and in truth, this is kind of an extenuation of last Sunday evening's lesson. No, not the same lesson, so don't get ready to leave. Last Sunday evening, we talked about a topic that is hard to reach people because they're religious, but they don't want to be righteous. And it's hard to get people to be righteous if all they want is to be religious. This topic goes along with that. It's funny that the song that was selected, because we want to win souls, we want to try to reach others, we want to keep this building full of people who are doing that which is right. However, Satan knows how to distract people from that. Last week, one way he distracts them, just have religion and be satisfied with that. And of course, we know that's not right. This morning, let's go to John chapter 18. And John chapter 18, as we begin our lesson, again, glad that you're here this morning as we come to worship God. And we have recorded for us in John 18, verses 36 through 38, as Jesus is standing before Pilate. And of course, he's already been arrested. They're going back and forth whether or not they're going to crucify him. And we find beginning in verse 36 of John 18, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Verse 7, 37. Then Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my words." Now here's the verse 18. Then Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Did he say that sarcastically? Did he say that sincerely? I wasn't there. I think in my own opinion, possibly more sarcastically, but nevertheless, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Pilate was doing his best from his own mind to try to avoid crucifying Christ, but the Jews wouldn't hear about it. But the topic is, what is truth? Well, we have that problem today, do we not? Today we've got that issue muddled in so many different thoughts. I'll just give you one expression of that I came up with as I studied. One person said this, "Opinions have been elevated to truth, and personal preferences have been elevated to rights. To challenge anyone's truth now causes personal offense and seems to be a definite no-no in our society." I agree, that's usually what's happening here. He goes on to say, "How did we ever get to such a point in society that no one is ever wrong anymore because everyone is right?" And I believe that deals with our society to a T when we talk about truth. Because you see, truth is absolute. But we want to have a relative truth. What's truth to me may not be truth to you. So just you go your way and I go my way. And that's why it's so hard to reach others, because they don't have an absolute truth. And of course, we're going to study that absolute truth this morning. And John chapter 14, let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. Familiar with these passages? He goes on to say, Jesus states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Jesus said, "I am the truth." All right, taking that and going a little bit further back into John chapter 8. Let's go to John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So this idea, what is truth, is going to be explained for us in the Word of God, is it not? Jesus is the truth, and it comes through his Word. And that's why we start our lesson this morning, what is truth? The answer, the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119 and Psalms 119, 160. We have recorded for us there in Psalms 119, verse 160, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." So, what is truth? The word of God. And I guess I could quit the lesson here, but I'm not going to do that, because I'm going to, first of all, go to some passages that clearly define the truth. And then we're going to go to the attitude towards the truth. And then we're going to close this lesson with the importance of the truth. And again, talking about the truth, which comes from God's word. See, if truth is just relative on a sliding scale, we got a lot of problems, don't we? And that's our religious world. Truth is a sliding scale for the religious world. But it's not for Christ and his teachings. And that's one of the problems we have in reaching others. Because, well, that's your truth. Well, no, are we following the same Bible? If Jesus is truth, that should be truth for everybody, should it not? So let's talk about the truth from the standpoint of God's word. Go to John 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, 17. Okay, do we have the answer? Thy word is truth. Pretty simple, isn't it? But let's go to another passage. Apostles were guided into what? Apostles were guided into all the truth. Let's turn to another passage as we look at that on all the truth, John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, one chapter back, and let's look at verse 13. John 16, verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come." Look at verse 13. "Guide you into what? All truth." Is there a source of truth? The answer is yes. The word of God, as the apostles were inspired. Now go back just one chapter as we look at verse 13. Go back to 15:26. 15 and verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, who I shall send you from the Father, the what? The Spirit of truth will proceed from the Father, and he will testify of me." So again, Pilate, what is truth? Well, I know the answer. Christ is truth. Well, how does Christ's truth come to us? Through his word. Pretty simple. Now, you would think all people who believe in Christ will accept that, but they don't, because they've made truth relative today instead of what it has to say. Again, let's go to another passage on the importance. The word of God, the gospel, is truth. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So the answer to what is truth is simple. It's the word of God. Colossians 1:5, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before," listen, "in the word of the truth, the gospel." Where's the truth? In the gospel. So what is truth? I know. It's in the word of God. Pretty simple, isn't it? The standard is right there. One more passage on that. Can't get much simpler than this as we look to God's word. We are to rightly divide the word of truth. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that's why I tell people when you study, if you can't get them to agree that the word of God is the sole source of authority, you're spinning your wheels. You're spinning your wheels. They've got to accept something as a source of authority. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing," what? "The word of truth." Not hard to understand, is it? What is truth? The word of God. What is truth? Jesus and his teachings. Okay. Then we should have a building full of people wanting the truth. But it don't work like that, does it? Because, see, we come to our next point. We've got different attitudes towards the truth. When I talk about the truth, you need to understand I'm talking about the truth of God's word. We have different attitudes. For instance, there are some just flat out reject the truth. They did so when Jesus walked this earth. And they do so today. We shouldn't be surprised by that, that they just flat out want nothing to do with the truth. Let's go to some passages along those lines. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. As he's speaking to the Jews here in Romans chapter 2, and said, but those who are self-seeking, and there's the key, if you're self-seeking, you think you already got your own truth. For those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. I want to stop here. Do we have a lot of people today who are self-seeking? So when you try to bring them the truth, you see the problem you're going to receive? If it doesn't meet what they want to do, they're going to reject it. So I shouldn't be surprised that you have people like that. They're self-seeking. Again, when we talk about that, you're going to turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. Again, I'm not saying that for us to excuse ourselves from trying to reach others. We should always be trying to reach others. But don't get in the doldrums when people don't respond. Because Satan has deceived people. Now, we're going to reach those that want the truth. We're going to get to that in a moment. But not everybody you come in contact wants the truth. There are some that flat out reject it. They don't want to be told what to do. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, we're familiar with this passage. This is Paul and Barnabas. Guess what they're teaching? They're teaching the truth. And Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said it was necessary that the word of God. You say, well, it doesn't say truth there. Where is truth at? In the word of God, correct? We already established that. That the word of God should be spoken to you first. So were they preaching to them the truth? But since you reject it, what were they rejecting? The word of God. And if you're rejecting the word of God, what are you rejecting? You're rejecting the truth. And you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. By the way, who's he talking to here? Religious people. Religious people who reject the truth. Because that's not what they want to hear. Are there religious people today who reject the truth because they're self-seeking, they've done it their own way? Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to teach people, but don't get discouraged when you come across people like that, because God warns us that that's what's going to happen. There are going to be people like that. Again, as we talk about those who don't receive the truth, turn with me to one other passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Does God want them to be saved? Yes. But what happens? They don't receive the love of the truth. Now it goes on to explain why. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God's not going to beat them over the head. There's one way God reaches people today, and it was by his choice. And that was by the word of God. It's the one way. You want to reject that? God allow you to believe a lie. Why do they do that? Verse 12. That they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had what? Pleasure in unrighteousness. Put it Chuck's way. They don't want to change their ways. They like what they're doing, and nobody's going to tell them any different. Right? You think there's people like that today? And so they'll believe a lie that they're acceptable to God, and they don't receive the truth. I gave you an illustration probably a couple of years ago now. But we had a young lady we were studying with. She was considering divorce. Myself and another man tried to convince her that she had no grounds for divorce and try to work it out. Well, long story short, she didn't agree with that. She got divorced, didn't see her for a number of months. And about 6 to 8 months later, she came back in, and she introduced me to her new husband. Well, I knew the backgrounds of the circumstances, so I knew it wasn't her husband biblically. And here's what she said as she walked out the door, smiling on her face. She said, I know you don't accept that, but where I'm going now, they do. And my response to her was this. It's not important what I accept. What does God's word accept? That was my response. And that's the last time I ever saw her. But isn't that, she wanted to follow her pattern of unrighteousness, so she found a religious group, oh, by the way, quote, Church of Christ, that was teaching falsely concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You think there's people like that today? Sure. But don't let that discourage you from teaching others. Still stand for the truth. I look back and I think it's kind of comical. Because the only reason she came that one Sunday is to get in my face and almost like a small child. Aha. No aha to me. You don't have to stand accountable to me. You have to stand accountable to what? The truth. You can find whatever you want religiously. Trust me when I tell you that. But you want the truth. Some simply flat out reject it and move on. There are some who wander from the truth. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you, so look at say among you, so the among you goes back to who? The brethren. We're talking about Christians here, right? Brethren, is there anyone among you, New King James Version says, wanders from the truth. If you went back to the King James, it says, err from the truth, E-R-R, from the truth. That idea, as I looked it up, the idea of err means to be led astray. So they're led astray. They were in the body of Christ, but they're led astray from the truth. Larry talked about it this morning as he went in Corinthians about the false apostles and on how people can be led astray. And of course, the admonition here is let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, of course, the sinner goes back to 19, does it not? One who wanders or one who errs from the truth to bring them back. But the point is, can some err from the truth, can some wander from the truth by being deceived? The answer is yes. Now, the way we're not deceived is to have a mind of our own. My wife, I love her dearly. Whenever she will disagree with me, she says, I got a mind of my own. And she does, and thank goodness for that. But let's face it, there's some people who don't have a mind of their own, and they're deceived, and they got to be brought back to the truth. That's if they're willing. But that's another attitude from the truth, to wander from the truth. There's a third attitude. Some don't wander from the truth. They're not deceived. Some just choose to turn away from the truth. Let's go to the passage there as we talk about those who turn away. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. We read this many times. I don't apologize for that because it's very important. But verse 3, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Would you agree sound doctrine equals the truth from God's word? But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. Look at this, verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from what? The truth. And be turned aside to fables. You see, that goes back to Sunday night. If you want to simply be religious, you've got a whole gamut of things you can choose from. Doesn't mean you're going to be pleasing to God, but it'll comfort you. However, if you want to be righteous, you got to follow truth. And you can say, well, I don't like, sometimes people say, well, I don't like the preacher, how he says it. And that's true. All preachers are different. Thank goodness for that. We're not clones of one another. But instead of getting so caught up in the style of the preacher, let's get focused to what's being said. That's really what's important, is it not? Over the past 49 years of preaching, I have a different style than everybody else has different styles. I get animated sometimes. You would have sung 20 years ago, I'd scare you to death because I was much more animated. I'm slowing down. Don't be concerned about the animated style. Be concerned about the message. the truth. They turn their ears away from the truth. You want to do religion your way? You'll find it. But you want the truth. You see, that's the important thing. Some flat out had the truth. They had the truth there. And they turned away from it. They wanted, I put it this way, and nothing wrong with feeling good. But they wanted to feel good regardless of what they're doing. That's our society, isn't it? Just feel good. No, we have a right to feel good if we're abiding in the truth. And I'm not truth. You're not truth. No disrespect, the elders are not truth. But God's word is truth. And that's not what they wanted. And then finally, attitude towards the truth. They receive and respond to the truth. What's the truth? The word of God. We already established that as we started this lesson this morning. And let's go to a couple passages there. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcome not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectually works in you that believe. In other words, when they went to preach, there were those Thessalonians who responded, knowing it was the word of God. It's the truth. That's why over the years, I don't get upset if somebody doesn't want to do what I teach them. They're not rejecting me. If I'm using the word of God correctly, they're rejecting the truth. But on this occasion, they responded to the truth. And they responded to the truth and obedience to the truth. They weren't forced to do that which was right. They wanted to do that which is right because they wanted to follow the truth. Think about that. If you want to follow the truth, you'll do whatever the truth has to say. You know, I didn't say, well, you know, I was raised a Lutheran, and man, my grandmother and my heritage, Lutheran, 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 Lutheran. And I know they all loved me. I know they wouldn't purposely try to deceive me. No, when I learned the truth, that wasn't even on my mind. This is what the word says. This is what I need to do because I don't want to go to hell. I didn't know I was going to start preaching years down the road, but nevertheless, it's the truth. When someone asks, why did you do that? I don't say I did it because a Church of Christ preacher told me to do something. Honestly, I'm not worried about the Church of Christ preacher. I'm worried about the truth. I'm worried about the truth. That's what they were worried about, the truth. They had taught the truth, and they respond favorably. Let's go to another passage, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, where's the truth in God's word? Simple as that. Is there an absolute truth? Absolutely. And it's God's word. There's no wiggle room to the truth. The truth is the truth, and the truth will never change. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. Does your Bible say that? What's the truth? The word of God. So they, what do they obey? They obeyed the word of God. They were baptized, Acts chapter 2. Through the Spirit and the sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart fervently. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. I'm so sad, verse 23, that it's so misused. You know, brethren, we seldom use the word born again, don't we? Because it's been so misused. You know, when people hear the word born again, they equate it, pray this prayer. Let's not throw away the phrase born again. Let's teach our neighbors what born again actually means. Born again is a biblical phrase that is misused. We have an opportunity. When they say they're born again, say, I've been born again, I can say to them, hey, it's interesting you said that. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means you pray this prayer. I said, well, that's how you understand it. But is that what the Bible teaches? And then take them to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Purified your souls and obeying the truth. having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Oh, let's go on. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word by the gospel which was preached to you. Then I asked them this. How did they purify their souls on the day of Pentecost? Repent and be baptized. How did the eunuch purify his soul? By being baptized. You get my point? Born again is a biblical phrase that has taken an unbiblical definition. Don't throw away the biblical phrase because people have misused it. Use it to your advantage and say, okay, that's good you brought that up. Let's study that. And then challenge them. Can you show me where they prayed? Give me that prayer they prayed to be saved. And guess what? It's not there. Now, very sincere people believe that. Don't misunderstand me. But let the truth speak for itself. Purify their souls in obeying the truth. What? God's word. Simple as that. Those are the four ways you can respond to the truth. There might be some more, but those are four ways people respond to the truth. Now, once we know what the truth is, and we understand we need to follow that truth, the final point this morning is we need to stand for the truth. Sometimes it's easy to stand for the truth. Sometimes it's not so easy to stand for the truth. Now, remember, I'm not truth. This congregation itself is not truth. This is the truth. You got to stand for the truth. Galatians chapter 2. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Stand for the truth above associations. Now, when you get to Galatians chapter 2, we've got two apostles. We've got Peter. And we've got Paul. Both of them are apostles. Paul is an apostle born out of due season. In other words, Paul was not one of the originals. He was chosen by the Lord on the way to Damascus. Acts chapter 9. Now let's take and see what this says. Verse 11. Now when Peter, was Peter an apostle? Yes, he was. When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. I want to ask you something. You think that'd be easy to do? To challenge another apostle? To challenge someone who was an apostle before you were an apostle? But he said he was to be blamed. Goes on. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when he came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Now I want to stop at verse 12. You think Peter understood what he was doing here? Yeah. What let him do that? He feared. He feared those of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite. Boy, God, the ball doesn't mince words here, does he? Played the hypocrite with him so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Now here's the key, verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about, and I want you to underline this, straightforward not about your opinion, not about how you feel, not about this is how we've always done it. That's not what it says. Not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. Paul could use book, chapter, and verse, right? When he showed a preference to the Jews. Brethren, sometimes we in the Lord's church get that mixed up. I stood firm. Okay. For what? Was it a tradition? Or was it the truth? You get the point? Sometimes you have to stand, but make sure you're standing for the truth and not your opinion and not your decision. If you're going to stand for something, you better make sure it's in harmony with book, chapter, and verse before you take a stand. Paul was firm because he knew what he was saying was true. And Peter needed to be rebuked. But let's go on. We need to stand for the truth, even though sometimes it creates difficulties. Paul loved the Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Where does truth come from? The Word of God. If you stand for the Word of God and you're not misusing the Word of God and you become someone's enemy, that's their problem, not yours. You say, well, that's not a good... Yeah, that's the right attitude. That's their problem and not yours. If it's according to the truth of the gospel. Isn't that what he's saying here? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sad but true, sometimes you do become someone's enemy because you stand for the truth. And then, never, I like Winston Churchill here, when he said, never, never give up. I say, never, never be ashamed of the truth. Never be ashamed of the truth. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, 16 and 17. It's a good congregation. You have leadership who's trying to do what's right. But you make sure you're doing the truth. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What, Paul? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Never, ever apologize for the gospel. Whether it be teaching them the basics of the gospel or how to live by the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because you go on to it, and it's funny, it ties in with last Sunday night's lesson, to the Jew first, not to the Greek, also to the Greek, for in it is the righteousness of God. You see how we combine truth and righteousness? In is the righteousness of God. Never be ashamed of the gospel. You might not get a standing ovation, but God's given you an ovation because you stood. Don't ever worry. And again, I'm glad we have brethren all over this land. But I think we get so focused on appeasing brethren, we forget about the truth. This is the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. As Paul is speaking to Timothy here, he states, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That be the gospel, wouldn't it? Don't be ashamed of that. Or me, nor me, his prisoner. But share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. What is truth? The gospel. The teachings of the Word of God. I'm going to close with a poem I used here some years ago. And it's this. I love it. I don't know who wrote it. Before I get to that, let's do that 3 John. I thought I already got that. 3 John verses 3 and 4. 3 John 3 and 4. John states this. For I rejoice greatly that when the brethren came and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's the most important thing, people. To walk in truth. Not your truth, not my truth, not his truth, not her truth, but the truth. That I'm walking in truth. And then I close with this poem. I don't know if you can read it or not. But it's a poem written by someone who said, give me the truth. I love it. I've used it everywhere I've been. I've used it more than once and don't apologize. Give me the truth. If you are my friend, if you are concerned about my soul, give me the truth. Do not flatter me. Do not praise my virtues while remaining silent about my vices. Do not fear the truth will offend me. do not treasure our friendship, our friendly relations, above my salvation. Do not think that by ignoring my sins you can help me. Do not think that being blind to my sins will prove you charitable. However I may react to it, whatever may be my attitude toward you after you have done it, give me the truth. I want to stop here just for a moment. Some years ago, we had a young family who they were having their first child, and they said, "Now, Chuck and Susan, if you see something that's not right, let us know." Okay, you open the door. So we saw something that wasn't right. Now I'm going to give them the truth, not Chuck's opinion, not some psychology. I'm going to give them book, chapter, and verse. Woo-hoo, they didn't take favorably to that. Chuck thinks he knows everything. Huh? Okay. So when we say that, give me the truth, let's be honest about that. That if the truth, book, chapter, and verse corrects, then take the correction. For the truth and only the truth can make me free from the shackles of sin, strengthen me from the pathway of righteousness, and lead me to the joys of heaven. If I'm wavering, weak, lukewarm, indifferent, neglectful, or if I've been overtaken in a trespass, if I've been drawn into the pleasures of the world, if I've left my first love, think about Ephesus, good church, but they left their first love, didn't they? If I've been led astray by error, or if I've done none of these things, but simply need to grow in the knowledge and to be edified, give me the truth. So I close this lesson, brethren, for us to always remember that the truth is right here. Know it, apply it, stand for it, encourage others to do it. But the truth is right here. It's not what Chuck said. It's not what somebody else said. It's what this says. That, my friend, is the truth. And it never changes. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, have you been born again biblically? Being baptized for the remission of your sins, raised to walk in newness of life? And for those of us that are born again, we're thankful for our spiritual family, but put the truth even above our spiritual family. Because sometimes spiritual families go astray. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you've gone anywhere astray, but can they go astray? You put the truth number one, because that's what God wants. And if you're not doing that, today is to do it. If you are doing that, keep on doing it and make that a priority of your life as we stand and as we sing.